Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could come into your presence in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that when we come before you, you raise the golden scepter. As soon as we say, in the name of Jesus, you raise the golden scepter, you listen to us. And dear God, we pray at this time that you will come and anoint your word. Make it live, living to us, Lord. Your word is a living document. And so we pray, Lord, that you would make the word live in our hearts, Lord, that it would become a part of our lives, that we would remember when we leave this place, Lord. And Lord, just pay attention to it and follow the instruction. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So last week we discussed the importance of not missing the time of our visitation from the Lord. We ended the message by saying that we want to possess and confess the reality of Jesus Christ, and that he would reign supreme and reign alone in our lives. We also said that we need to be filled and refilled with the Holy Spirit. In other messages, we studied the Holy Spirit, his qualities, his works, and why a person should want to be baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that baptism means being filled with this most awesome Spirit. How does a person get filled with the Holy Spirit? What preparations have to be made? One very important preparation for the baptism or refilling of the Holy Spirit is that a person needs to be emptied of him or herself so that there is room for the Holy Spirit to enter. God can only fill empty vessels. You cannot be hungry for God unless you are emptied of yourself. An empty stomach is hungry, right? So you have to be emptied of yourself so that you can be filled with the Lord. When you are emptied of yourself, then you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. This morning I would like to speak about hungering and thirsting for the Lord in preparation for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you could turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 to 7. For those online, it's 2 Kings chapter 4, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 7. Second Kings chapter 4, and beginning of verse 1. Now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me. What do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons, and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and they were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live off of the rest." So at this time, Elisha was the current prophet who came on the scene after the prophet Elijah was taken up into heaven. Now in verse 3, Elisha told the widow to borrow empty vessels. Why does the Bible explicitly say empty vessels. It is obvious that the vessels had to be empty, but there's a major lesson in this verse, in this one word. You cannot fill a vessel if it is already full. It's like this bottle of water here. I can't put anything in here because it's full. You cannot fill a vessel if it's already full. An empty vessel represents a person who is hungering for the Lord and who knows that nothing else in life could be more important than Him. We need to be empty before the Lord. We need to be emptied of everything in our lives that is displeasing to God or a hindrance to receiving more of Him. Even something good in life could be hindering a hunger for the Lord if we give it a higher priority than we give to Him. We can get filled with the cares of this world, which Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower, which stop us from hungering for God. What are the cares of this world? Anything in your life that gets a higher priority than God. Anything that consumes so much of your time that you have no time or less time for the Lord. Anything that gets more of your attention or interest than attention or interest that you give to God. If you don't know what the Lord wants you to be emptied of, you could always ask Him and He'll show you. Then you can ask God to help you get rid of it. Which maybe it's something you'd like to hold on to. And God said, no, I'm more important than that. We may pray to the Lord to fill us, but He may be looking down and saying, oh, I would love to, but I can't. There's no room for me. God can only fill empty vessels. As we said before, it's an empty stomach that's hungry. When we are empty, then we can hunger for the Lord. When we are empty, then God can fill us. Verse 4, you shall go in and shut the door behind you. In other words, physically or mentally, get alone with God. Alone with God. And let Him know that nothing else means more than you getting filled with the Holy Spirit. As this widow poured into each empty vessel, the oil continued flowing. A miracle was going on. The oil did not stop flowing until there were no more vessels, meaning that the Holy Spirit can satisfy all your needs, all your wants, all your hungering and thirsting. The Holy Spirit can satisfy it. And only He could do that. When the Lord fills your heart, He fills to overflowing. The Almighty cannot be contained. What about some examples of those who were hungry for the Lord? In both the Old and New Testaments, there are examples of people who were hungry for the Lord. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2 state, as the hart, or as the deer, pants and longs for the water brooks, so I pant and long for you, O God. My inner self thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? By using the term panting, David showed that he had a serious thirst and hunger for the Lord. When you pant, you take in life-sustaining oxygen more rapidly. That's the whole idea of panting. Like when you're running. You're panting when you run. Running, you're taking in oxygen more rapidly because your muscles need it. So when you pant, you take in life-sustaining oxygen more rapidly. Spiritually, we should be panting for the living breath of life, the Holy Spirit, that only God could give. David had a thirst in his life that only God could quench. He wanted the Lord more than anything else in life. We are the same. We need to realize that only the Holy Spirit could satisfy and fill our hungering and thirsting in our lives. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 63, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Psalm 63, and we're going to read verses 1 to 8. Psalms, for those online, we're going to be reading Psalm 63 and verses 1 to 8. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in the dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. David sought after God earnestly. Are we seeking the Lord earnestly? Each one of us has to answer that question for ourselves this morning. A dry and weary land represents a world that cannot satisfy. From the song, Only Jesus Can Satisfy Your Soul. I know I've said this before, but I just can't get enough of it. It's so meaningful. You'll never find true satisfaction until you found the Lord. Another line from that song. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. If you could have the fame and fortune, all the wealth you could obtain, yet you have not Christ within, your living here would be in vain. David was hungering to see God's attributes. He wanted to see God's power and glory. David had a major hunger and a thirst for God. How much do we hunger and thirst for the Lord? Or are we hungry and thirsting for the temporal things in life that never will and never can satisfy? Verse 4 over here says, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Well, we get a reinforcement of that idea in Psalm 134, verse 2, one of my favorite verses. Lift up your hands into sanctuary and bless the Lord. Your sanctuary could be here, it could be home, wherever you get in communion with the Lord. Lift up your hands into sanctuary and bless the Lord. By saying that my whole body shall be filled as with marrow and fatness, David was saying that no one can satisfy like the Lord. No one can do the job of filling and satisfying like the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, my mouth offers praise with joyful lips. True and genuine worship brings joy. David loved the Lord so much that he would think of him during the night. Wow. He said that my whole being follows hard after him. The King James Version, it actually says, my whole being follows hard after you. David was a God chaser. Are we God chasers this morning? If you have genuinely received Jesus into your life and have a genuine revelation and knowledge of Him, you will be addicted to Him and you will be a God chaser. How well do we know the Lord this morning? David knew that there was no one like God in life because he said that my soul clings to you. We sing the song, there is none like you. No one else could touch my heart like you do. I can search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, the Lord himself testified about David's hunger, saying that he was a man after my own heart. Can the Lord say this about me or any one of us? A man after a woman, after his own heart? I think God is looking for people after his heart. Don't you want to be one of them? How does the Lord respond to a genuine hunger? I'm going to read Isaiah chapter 55. You can turn with me if you want. Isaiah chapter 55. And verses 1 to 3, and then 6. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 3, and then verse 6. Some beautiful thoughts over here. Come. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters. What we sang this morning, and Jesus said, come to the water. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me. No, when the word is repeated twice, the Lord is emphasizing the idea. Listen, listen to me. Eat and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Come to me, and I will satisfy your hunger and your thirst. The Lord knows how to quench your thirst. And boy, does he know. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord refers to himself as the fountain of living water. Isaiah 55, and the Lord is saying, I will take care of all those desires that you have in life. I will fill like no one else can, and there is no cost. Why are you turning to and seeking after those things that cannot satisfy? Listen, listen to me. The Lord is calling attention in this verse. He is saying, I will satisfy your hungering and your thirsting. Come to me, and I will fill you and to overflowing. You know, years back, there was advertising for the coffee brim. Maybe you're too young to remember. I'm not. Fill it to the rim with brim. Not with God. When he fills, it spills all over the place. He fills to overflowing, and nobody could contain him. And we have that idea. If you could turn with me just a couple of pages back, a couple of verses, Isaiah chapter 44 and verses 1 to 3, and I'm going to read it in the King James Version because it comes out really nice there. Isaiah 44, verses 1 to 3. The verses are powerful. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord that made you and formed you from the womb, which will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. And here it comes. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed, and my blessing upon your offspring. You know, this verse makes me think back. About a year or so ago, a year and a few months, it was August, I had to drive from Jersey City to over here to meet the youth group, and a thunderstorm broke out. It poured all the way, poured from Jersey City all the way over to here. If you're familiar with 109, the highway, it was all flooded. There were floods on Route 3, and then I got onto 21 to get over here. Get off of Mill Street, I couldn't. The road was flooded. You couldn't get a car through it. Wound up going on, then you had to drive over the island to get over back to Mill Street. It was low enough that you could do it, but you know, we did it. To get to Mill Street, it was flooded. Couldn't go over there. But I made my way back to, got over here to church. The idea is, this is what God wants to do with his living water. He said floods on the dry ground. And he wants to do it. You know what's stopping him? Us. The people that are not hungering and thirsting for him. We need to hunger and thirst. We all need to, including myself. We need to really hunger. God is giving, is willing, more willing to give than we are to receive. Only the Lord could quench a spiritual thirst. He didn't say a couple of drops of water. He didn't say showers on, he didn't say showers like a spring shower. He said, I will pour floods upon the dry ground. Boy, this is what we're waiting for. What a day that will be when Jesus does that. We are praying to an almighty God. We want floods on the dry ground. We want the flood of the presence of God in our lives. You know, there's so much evil around us. Just put on your TV. I always say, just watch the news, read it on social media. There's evil all around. Why not have the presence of God all around? When you are seriously thirsting and hungering for God, he will definitely respond. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you will search for me with all your heart. Just turn with me one more reading. John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. Just three verses, very important. It'll just drive the point home. For those online, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. John chapter 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The feast at which Jesus spoke was the Feast of Tabernacles, also called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Shelters. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted 8 days. Just give you a background why Jesus said what he did. For 7 days, after gathering their crops, people of Israel were to celebrate, rejoice in the feast of the Lord. On the eighth day, a custom called pouring of water took place. During this custom, water was poured from gold vessel onto the altar in the temple. With trumpets and other ceremonies, this water was poured out before the Lord with expressions of joy. Why would Jesus say these words on the last day of this 8-day feast? Jesus was probably watching the celebration for seven days, and maybe it was more like a big party. Then on the 8th day, people would ceremoniously pour water onto the altar. Waiting for the last day of the feast to deliver his message, maybe Jesus was saying, now that you celebrated and had a good time during this feast, do you see, do you understand that this feast, this celebration, these good times will come to an end and will not satisfy? You will go home, and everything will be the same as it was before the feast. In your ritual, you are pouring water, but I want to pour living water into your heart and into your life. And speaking of living water, Jesus was referring to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was saying that only living water can satisfy. Jesus knew that the feasts, the parties, all the good times that this world offers cannot bring true happiness and satisfaction. He was offering living water that satisfies and quenches thirst, water that comes from a fountain that will never run dry. It's the Holy Spirit, living water, a fountain that just doesn't quit. This morning, we want to examine our lives and see what we are hungering and thirsting for. What are we seeking in life? Ask the Lord to show us if we are hungering for or getting filled with things that are not from Him, things that cannot and never will satisfy. Does our focus, our desires have to be changed? Do our priorities have to be changed? Are we hungering and thirsting for God or things in life that will never satisfy? Does the Lord or someone else, something else, mean the most to us in life? If we are serious about hungering and thirsting for God, we should ask the Lord to empty us. Ask the Lord to put the hunger and thirst in our lives for Him. Tell Jesus that you want to be baptized or refilled with the Holy Spirit. God will definitely answer that prayer. This morning, we don't want the Lord to pass us by. We want to genuinely hunger and thirst for Jesus and tell Him, as the song states, "Pass me not."